So now we've come to this very, very beautiful place that I'm always hankering to visit. It's this very, very natural, beautiful place called Ramagat. We were just singing, huh? Jaya Ramagata, Jaya Rohini Nandan. And you see, this is very, very beautiful, natural place. We're sitting under this beautiful old banyan tree. Actually, one time, Krishna, he saw a tree like this. And he said, "Oh, Maya, oh, Maya, what kind of tree is this what's got a beard? What kind of tree is this what's got a beard? Oh, Maya, what kind? Ye kain ki pair hai, jiski daari hai? Ye kain ki pair hai, jiski daari hai, Maya?" So Mother Yasoda, she looked, she saw, "Lala, this is banyan tree. You see his beard is there." Behind us where you can't see, Lala, he saw this type of tree and he said, "Oh, Maya, what kind of tree is this? What's leaf has got a tail? What kind of tree is this? What's leaf has got a tail? Oh, Maya, ye kain ki pair hai, jiske patte ki poonche? Oh, Maya, ye kain ki pair hai, jiske patte ki poonche?" Just like in front of Prabhupada Samadhi, you can't see, there's a whole bunch back here, but in front of Prabhupada Samadhi, you saw that huge tree and his leaf shaped just like a little heart and then comes down with a little poonch, little tail. And if the slightest breeze, then they're always moving in the wind. So Mother Yasoda said, "Lala, this is people tree." Just beside us, we have a very, very old gular. And even back here behind the well, even more old, I've never seen one this big. Gular is it's called Indian fig tree. The fruit comes out of little tiny branches that come right out of the trunk of the tree. I don't know if there's any fruits. You can see where the little branches were. Oh yeah, you can see there's some fruits here. Little reddish fruits. On this one branch I can see some. This is gular, Indian fig tree. It's the only tree you'll see that has no flower but fruit. Now we never heard of such a thing. Always there's flower, then after the flower, then fruit comes. But this is a very sneaky tree. Actually, it has a flower, but it comes inside the fruit. Self-pollinating with inside the fruit. Actually, the British, because the Indians were always asking for independence, so the British used to say, "When the gular tree gives flower, then we'll give you independence." And the Indian response was that when we get independence, we'll create botanists greater than Pasteur and all those other guys, and we'll create a gular tree that gives flowers. And then over here behind this little Shiv temple, we have very, very old Kadamba tree. This is our Vrindavan Kadamba tree. It's in Mayapur, they have different type. Our Vrindavan Kadamba grows very, very, very slow. And like this, very rarely I see so old Kadamba tree. And if you look closely, you'll see the little seed pods in little shaped like little balls. Because Kadamba is not one flower, but a whole bunch of flowers in a little ball. And our Vrindavan Kadamba trees, they grow very, very slow. So this is a very ancient one. In Mayapur, the Mayapur to Kadamba, they're very big like this. Big balls. And you plant one, and tomorrow he's this big, and next month he's this big, and next year he's that big, and after 2 years you have to need binoculars to see the top. They grow very, very fast. But the flower is just the color of Srimati Radhika. Therefore, this is Krishna's favorite and very, very fragrant. But you'll have to come in June or July. In June when it's very hot. Or you can come in July when the rains have cooled everything down. And then we have, back here we have Sajana, drumstick tree. just back here in the corner. He has a fruit which looks just like drumstick, so we call it drumstick. Very, very nice. Sajjana. One time, one merchant came by. Now naturally, Vaishya type people, as soon as they see something, they only think making profit. So he saw this big, huge sajjana tree, and he saw the drumsticks that were way on the top. They were the nicest, thickest, and juiciest. So he thought, I will collect all of those drumsticks and I'll make a big profit. So he climbed up the tree and climbed up and up and he collected all those drumsticks. But he was so much absorbed in thinking about his profit, he forgot about where he was, and he looked down after he collected everything and he said, whoa! Where am I? And he became frightened and he began to cry. And everyone came and they were trying to tell him how to come down, but he was too frightened to move. He was just looking down. And one sadhu came by, and so all the people, they ran to that sadhu. This poor man, he's stuck in the top of the tree. What can we do? What can we do? And that sadhu, he reached down, he picked up a stone, and he threw it just over the head of that man. And that man jumped down one branch, and he threw another stone. Everybody, hey, what are you doing? Hey, what's going on? Hey, hey. And before you knew it, the guy was on the ground, you know, brushing himself off, and that sadhu had disappeared. So as long as we're talking about merchants, actually, you know how this banyan tree got his name? Because we know the merchant community from Prabhupada's books called Vaishya. But in Hindi we say baniya. Almost like bank, you know, bank, baniya. Just like Rupa Goswami, he kept so many gold coins with one baniya, so that Sanatana Goswami could get those, give those coins to the jailer. So these banyan trees, especially in Bengal, they grow all over the place. So the fruits fall in the river Ganges, they go out to the sea, they go all over the place. You go to Mauritius. We don't have anybody here from Mauritius, huh? You see so many banyan trees. So banyan trees are gone all over, and especially in the Mediterranean area where there's nice climate, banyan trees are growing there. So the Indian merchants, the baniyas, when they used to go to Europe to sell their goods, they would see these trees. It reminded them of home. And you see how big they are. If we wanted to, all of us, we could all sleep here tonight underneath this one tree. So they would sleep under those trees. So gradually everybody started calling that the baniya tree. And gradually became banyan tree. I read it. It was a big, thick book like this, a very scientific book, so I believe the story, because it was a big book like this on Indian trees. So that's how it's got its name, baniya, banyan tree, banyan tree. And here we are right on the bank of the Jamuna. Now, the appearance of Jamuna is very interesting. You know that story? You don't know. I have to tell some more stories. One time, there was one fellow named Biswakarma. And he was a great devotee of the sun god. And just like me, he had a very, 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 very beautiful daughter. Was marriageable age. Now I got mine married, and she also made me into grandpa. I have a little 4-year-old granddaughter named Kinnery. So he was thinking, and her name was Sangha. You can understand, just like we kirtan, sankirtan, Sangha. You heard the word gyan, huh? So sangyan, complete gyan. Awareness. Sangya means awareness. So he thought, what a better wife for the sun than awareness, sangha. Because at night we can't see anything, we're not aware of anything, but as soon as sun will rise, then we become aware of everything. Okay, now Rishta Shura is moving away. So he thought, I should give the hand of my daughter to Bibhiswan. This is the most perfect wife, awareness. So he married his daughter with Bibhiswan. Big pompous ceremony was there, and he married his daughter to Bibhiswan. But when Bibhiswan approached his wife the way husband approaches wife, then she shut her eyes. And he became very angry. Why you shut your eyes like that? Therefore I curse you. You will get a son who everyone will be afraid of your son, and he will make everybody's eyes shut. He gave curse like that. Now Sangha, she wasn't a modern Western lady who started a big fight with her husband. She was a very, very smart Indian lady. Huh? Our Indian ladies are very clever. She started massaging on his leg. Oh, Swami, what can I do? You're so bright. I couldn't help myself. No harsh word, but automatically husband is feeling bad. Without any harsh word, he's automatically feeling bad inside his heart. So then he said, oh, what can I do? I've given curse. I don't know how to take back. But I give you blessing. And see how clever she got blessing. Huh? I give you blessing. You will get a daughter who will free everyone from the fear of your son. So she gave birth to twins, Yam and Yami. Yam, Yamaraj, who makes everybody shut their eyes. And everyone's very much afraid of Yamaraj. And Yami, Yamuna. Huh? By taking our bath in the waters of the Yamuna, we become free from all sin, then we have no more fear of Yamaraj. So Yamaraj and Yamuna, they're brother and sister. If you, especially at Bishramgad in Mathura, you can see there's Bhai Ben Mandir. Brother-sister temple. Yamaraj and Yamuna. And especially our Gujarati friends, the 2 days after Diwali, Yam Dwitya, what do they call it? Bhai Bij. Our Gujarati friends, they like to go there with brother and sister and take bath together in the Yamuna. And brother gives nice sari and bangles to sister, and sister cooks nice things for brother. But on this planet, how did Yamuna come here? On this planet, first she comes down on top of the Kalinda mountain. Therefore, what name did she get? Kalindi. Huh? We have any Kalindi here? No Kalindi with us? All right. She's called Kalindi. Or Kalinda Nandini. Or even more sweet, Kalindagiri Nandini. Just say it. Kalindagiri Nandini. Huh? Giri means mountain. Huh? Kalindagiri Nandini, the daughter of the Kalinda mountain. And our Rupa Goswami, he is given a very special name. Sarva Dara Binda Bandhu Nandini. Sarva, you all know, all, huh? Arabinda, anybody knows the meaning of Arabinda? We have any Arabind Bhai with us? Huh? One, alright. Arabinda means lotus. Sarva Dara Binda Bandhu, just like Deen Bandhu. Bandhu means friend. So you know who's the friend of all the lotus flowers? Some of you know. When moon will come, every lotus will close her face. She doesn't want to see moon. But as soon as sun will rise, every lotus opens with big smile to see the sun. So the friend of all the lotus flowers is the sun. So Sarva Dara Binda Bandhu Nandini, the daughter of the friend of all the lotus flowers, Surya Putri Jamuna. And where Rupa Goswami has given this name is in his Jamunastak. He has written one Jamunastak. And one verse, my very favorite. Ramyatira Rambamana Gokaramba Bhushita Divya Gandhava Karamba Pusparaja Rushita Nandasuno Bhakta Sangam Sangam Abhinandani Mam Punattu Sarvadara Binda Bandhu Nandani Mam Punattu Sarvadara Binda Bandhu Nandani. So he says, Ramyatira Rambamana Gokadamba Bhushita. Ramyatira. You all know tira, huh? Jamuna tira, we're thinking every day, huh? Bank. But what type of bank? Very ramani, very lovely banks. Ramyatira Rambamana Gokadamba. So we were just talking about this Kadamba tree, but actually in Sanskrit, Kadamba means group. In Sanskrit, Kadamba means group, dal. Because we told this flower is a whole group of flowers in a little ball. But here we're talking about different group. Gokadamba. Group of cows. And what are those cows doing? Rambamana. You know Ramba? Means all those cows are going Ramyatira Rambamana Gokadamba Bhushita. Now this word comes from Abhushan. Just like Valade Vidya Abhushan. Ornaments. Just like the ladies, they like too many ornaments. Abhushan. So Jamuna is also a lady. She likes ornaments. But what is her ornaments? Little black and white and yellow and red and speckled cows are walking along her banks and going, that is the ornaments of Jamuna. Ramyatira Rambamana Gokadamba Bhushita Divya Gandhava Kadamba Pusparaja Rushita. Now we're talking about the Kadamba tree, and Rupa Goswami has kept two meanings in one line. That the banks of the Jamuna are covered with Kadamba trees, or we could take it that the Kadamba tree is covered with Kadamba flowers. If you look closely in this Kadamba, you see all the seed pods that are left over because so many thousands and thousands and thousands. And divya, just like English, we say divine. Divya, ganda. Ganda means fragrance. This divine fragrance is flowing in all directions. Nandasuno bhakta sangam sangam abhinandani. Now he says Nandasuno means son of Nanda Maharaj. Just like when you check into the hotel, you know, what do they ask? What is your name? And then what is your father's name? Because there may be so many Gulab Chand Agarwals. But we want the one who's the son of Radhesham Agarwal. So Rupa Goswami wants you to make sure which Krishna? That Nandasuno. He doesn't say Krishna. He says Nandasuno. Bhakta Sangam. Those people who were devotees of that son of Nanda Maharaj. Sangam. All of them. Abhinandani, she's doing there. Abhinandan, she's welcoming them. Because they've all come down to the banks of the Jamuna early in the morning. Some from this side, some from that side, some from over here, some from back here, some from over this side. They've all come. So Sangam to all of them, Abhinandan, she's giving their Abhinandan welcome in the morning. Mam Punattu Sarvadara Binda Bandhu Nandini. May the beautiful flowing waves of that beautiful daughter of the friend of all the lotus flowers always bless and purify you. And our Prabodhanand Saraswati, he has written some very beautiful verses about Jamuna. Even though Sri Radha's vermilion was washed away by the waters of Kalindi, while she engaged in water pastimes in Vrindavan, even though Sri Radha's black mascara was washed from her eyes, even though the pearls from her necklace were scattered and her two lotus eyes became reddish, still Sri Radha, the indescribably beautiful damsel, remained embraced to the chest of Krishna. When the son of Nanda Maharaj forcefully splashed water at his dear gopis, they all began to splash water at him. Being unable to tolerate, Shyamasundar submerged within the waters of the Jamuna. He then joyfully touched the hips, thighs, and legs of the gopis and rose in a different place, wearing a smile that defeated the beauty of millions of moons. Once doing an intense desire for enjoying transcendental amorous pastimes, Sri Radha and Krishna entered the waters of Kalindi and passed a long time engaged in conjugal pastimes. And the gopis became extremely afflicted by separation and began to search for their beloved lordships. Sometimes Sri Radha and Krishna joyfully threw lotus flowers at each other. Sometimes they spit water from their mouths onto the closed eyes of each other. Sometimes they splash the waters of Jamuna like torrents of rain, and sometimes one lifts the other out of the water. In this way, the fair and dark complexioned divine young couple of Vrindavan enjoy their pastimes in the waters of the Jamuna. So we hear very, very special pastime. This is the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Jamuna. We hear special pastime happen with Balaram. Because we know that Krishna, he went off to Mathura, then later to Dwarka. So finally, one time, Balaram, he came here to pacify, because Krishna wasn't coming. So Balaram came during the month of Chaitra and Vaisakh, just after Gaur Purnima festival, then starts the month of Chaitra, and then after that comes Vaisakh. That's when it begins to get warm. So all the trees are blossoming, all the creepers are blossoming. Madhavi creepers come, and Malati, well, Malati comes now in September, but Madhavi creepers come at that time, and so many Madhu Malati creepers come. And so many flowers begin to bloom. Our Brajabihari, he runs away, he has hay fever, so all the flowers are blooming. He runs away from Vrindavan. So during those 2 months, Lord Balaram came here to Braj to pacify all of the Brajavasis. And here in this very beautiful natural place, just on the bank of the Jamuna, he performed his Rasa Leela with the gopis. And that description is given in such a way in Bhakti Ratnakar that if I speak it, it won't be nearly as nice. But I'll give you this description from Bhakti Ratnakar, the 5th chapter, whom my godbrother Pundarik Vidyanidhi has translated as Mathura Mandal Prikama. It may be available in the temple, but maybe I know he's reprinting it, so it may be out of print. In Sri Krishna Chaitanya Charitra by Murari Gupta, he says, "Just see at this place Ram and Krishna decorated with gold and jewel ornaments, and suitably dressed for spring, engaged in amorous pastimes, in a merry mood with each of his own beautiful gopis. They are overflowing with ecstatic mellows as they join their lovely gopi friends in dancing and singing. The sporting activities of Lord Balaram are most wonderful and astounding, with transcendental mellows." That's a talk story. "There is no limit to his dear beloveds. He increased the loving attachment of those gopis who were not fortunate enough, due to their young age, to associate with Krishna when he performed his Rasa Leela. How Balaram engaged in this pastime is beyond description." Sri Raghava continued to describe the beauty of Balaram at the time of his Raslila. O Srinivas, knowing that he would perform his Raslila with his dear lovers, Balaram happily came to this place. This pleasant spot, situated near the Jamuna, was always filled with scented air. The flowers of the gardens were in full bloom, and the sky was bright from the full moon. The humming of bumblebees and the sweet singing of various birds. Oh, you hear the sweet singing of the birds? Surcharged the atmosphere. Millions of male and female peacocks danced.
Ew! Ew! Huh?
And many deer played in the garden. As Balaram relaxed beneath a tree, the gods in heaven sang the glories of Rohini Nandan, whose beauty and posture fascinate the world. O Srinivas, who can keep his composure seeing the splendor of Baladev? It was here that Ram sat on a jeweled throne in a festive dress. The beauty of Baladev conquers that of millions of Kamadevs. And every moment of his charms the Munis and Indra. The glory of his body, which brightens the three worlds, can defeat the pride of a million moons. The silky black curly hair covering his head is decorated with a jewel-set crown. And he wears a beautiful flower garland. His lips are as red as bimba fruit, pomegranate. And his teeth sparkle like pearls. A garland of Vaijayanti dangles from his powerful neck. Now, I always thought Vaijayanti was a particular type of flower garland. It may also be. But last year in Vrindakun, we grew the little Vaijayanti beads. There's a special type of plant. Looks like some type of grass. And then little flowers come. And then these beautiful little beads that we used to wear when we were hippies, actually. There's a special type of little white colored beads that come after the flowers. And we collected those. That is called Vaijayanti. So his Vaijayanti mala was dangling from his powerful neck, white just like Balaram. All glories to the powerful hero Rohini Nandan. Listen to this. The white conch, kunda flowers, camphor, and the silver white mountain all bow down to Balaram's bright white complexion. The conch, Shankha, kunda, just the kunda flowers are about, it's in the rainy season, summer and rainy season, then jasmine, mogra comes. But in winter time we get these beautiful white flowers called kunda. So Shankha, kunda, kapoor, camphor, and the silver white mountain, they all bow down to Balaram's white bright complexion. The wavy locks of his lustrous hair curling around his forehead and his bright tilak steals the young maidens' hearts. His wavy curly locks curling around his forehead and the bright tilak on his forehead steals the hearts of the young maidens. His lotus eyes are restless and his eyebrows dance like black bumblebees near his bright earrings. With a pointed nose that defeats the beauty of Garuda's beak. Huh? and his face, which conquers the splendor of the moon. It appears as though nectar pours from his body. His arms are decorated with bangles, and jeweled necklaces adorn his strong chest. His thin waist breaks the lion's pride. He is wearing an exquisite blue dress, and his well-shaped knees, are very pleasing to all who see. The reddish color of the soles of his feet defeat the sun, and the brightness of his nails conquers the darkness. Just like this morning we were coming, we were seeing, this is the sun that must have been defeated, huh? The reddish color we saw in the morning, huh? Now this time of year, very misty in the morning. So the sun comes very red. I am unable to describe the beauty of Baladev. There is no comparison to him in this world. In this way, the Puranas give Baladev's descriptions, which fortunate must always see. In this place, Rohini Nanda and Balaram stood in threefold bending form. And he blew joyfully on his horn, the sound of which moved the heart of Brahma and others. O Srinivas, with only one mouth, and having to wait for everybody to translate, how can I describe the beauty of Balai's pastimes? Here in this moonlit Jamuna Upavan, Balaram engaged in pastime surrounded by millions of gopis. Srimad Bhagavat describes as follows. In the company of numerous women, Lord Balaram enjoyed in a garden by the Jamuna River. This garden was bathed in the rays of the full moon. And caressed by breezes bearing the fragrance of night-blooming lotuses. Not lotus, that must be the lilies. The lilies are the friend of the moon. Sent by the demigod Varuna, the divine Varuni liquor flowed from a tree hollow and made the entire forest more fragrant with its aroma. The wind carried to Balaram the fragrance of that flood of sweet liquor. And when he smelled it, he went to the tree. And there he and his female companions drank. Raghava continued his story. After drinking the liquor, Rohini Nandan became maddened as he began his rasa dance with the gopis. Some gopis played mridanga, pinaka, bina, and other instruments, while other gopis sang Balaram's glorious and melodious songs with beautiful rhythmic tunes and beats. Lord Brahma and others were moved by the music. Sri Balaram himself became overwhelmed by the dancing, singing, and music. And soon the Ras Mandir was filled with unlimited happiness. To enjoy water sports with his lovers, Balaram brought the Jamuna near by pulling her with his plow. Then he sported in her water. After bathing, Balaram changed his dress, drank honey and liquor, and spent the night with his associates. In the early morning, the gopis could not bear the separation from Balaram. They did not want to return to their homes. Balaram consoled them in many ways and sent them to their houses. Out of fear of Balaram, the Jamuna offered him prayers, and folding her hands, she threw herself at his feet. This description is found in Vrajavilasa Stava. when by her own quiet nature the Jamuna was flowing to the South Ocean, she did not respond to the order of Balaram. And thus he pulled her with his plow. In this place, the Jamuna can be seen as she is. I sing the glories of this place with my devoted heart. Sri Raghava told his followers that Balaram's Rasa Stali is famous throughout the worlds, and devotees always offer prayers at this beautiful place named Ramagat.
So,
oh yeah, there's a way back in this peepal tree, there's a big beehive there. Because peepal trees are very, very tall. Nobody can get there to get the honey. So we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Balaram came here with his special group of gopis. Because Krishna's gopis and Balaram's gopis are different. And also included, as was mentioned here, were those girls who were too young to enter into Krishna's rasa dance when he did his rasa dance. They also came and danced with Balaram in this place. And the daughter of Varuna appeared in the form of Bruni, special type of honey, flowing from the trees. And Balaram, he began to drink that honey, attracted by the fragrance. Now you know, especially in the old days, after the Sunday feast, whatever was left over, we used to just eat. And there'd be halava and sweet rice, and we'd just eat so much halava and so much sweet rice, we would all become intoxicated and just roll on the floor laughing. You remember those days?
I was in another place besides down there. Seeing the guests off.
So Balaram became completely intoxicated. And his beautiful, attractive eyes were just rolling in his head. Then he thought that we've been dancing for a long time. Let us refresh ourselves in the cool waters of Kalindi. The cool black waters of Kalindi. Because Kalindi's another name is Krishna, because her waters are always blackish. It's like Ganga is always very light colored. Who's been to Kumbh Mela? Anybody been to Kumbh Mela? One behind, one in front also. Only a couple. But when you come to Kumbh Mela, you can see the black waters of Jamuna coming and the golden waters of Ganga coming, and then you can see them mixing together in the Sangam. You can actually see. So Balaram wanted to enter into the cool black waters of Kalindi. But now he's intoxicated. You know, when you get intoxicated, you slow down a bit. And you don't like to do any work. Balaram didn't want to walk so far to the Jamuna. So, hey, come on over here. So Jamuna felt a little disrespected. But this is the way the Brijbazis are. There's one Braj verse, what is it? Bol and tohela vachanantagari kari lakata kapani kubakari deki sham marupuri tehari. Bol and tohela. Hela means without any respect. It's like you see, most of the places will go. Not on this side of Braj, but other parts, you know, where I go more often. Then they say, "Oh, Din Bandhu, Aja." That's the way you talk to a little boy, huh? Aja. No respect, huh? Bowl and Tohela, Vachananta, Gadi. Now the Brijbasis, they move their R's and L's around like Japanese. The actual word is Gali. Now you all know Gali. I don't. And you're all unfortunate. You get to hear what the... See, most of our foreign devotees, they don't know what the Brijbasis are saying to each other. You can understand. What they say to each other in love, the other part of India, that will start a big fight. So every word is Gali. Mola and Tohela, Vanchara and Tagali, Gari. Karilakata, everywhere there's thorn tree. And Pani Kubakari. All the water is very salty. Huh? We have to bring our Bishlahari with us. Huh? Bish means poison. Bishlahari. There is waves. Huh? You're afraid to drink. I love our Braj water, but you guys are all afraid. You bring your Bishlahari with you. So Balaram wasn't speaking with any respect, just like Brijbasi. So Jamuna, she refused to come. So you know, when you're intoxicated, then you very easily get angry. Huh? So Balaram, his eyes were rolling, he became very angry. Aye! So he took his plow and he began to pull Jamuna toward him. Huh? And that way... Of course, now Jamuna is a little low, but if you come here in rainy season, you can see many branches of Jamuna in this place. He just scratched her with his plow. And then he enjoyed so many water pastimes with all his Bhagavatamrita describing, just like an elephant playing with so many female elephants in the water. And then after bathing, then he dressed himself again in beautiful blue garments, lotus flower garland from the lotuses of the Jamuna. And of course, Jamuna personified came and offered so many beautiful prayers to him and begged forgiveness for not recognizing, even in his intoxicated state, he's still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Jamuna has two forms. That's what I was telling, you know, when Lalita and Visakha jumped in here, Visakha is also partial expansion as Jamuna. So she took Radharani to the presence of her father, the sun god. Now, it wouldn't be proper for Balaram to sport, because Visakha is... Krishna's consort. But Jamuna has another form, just like we heard, she's flowing into the ocean. So all the rivers, they flow into the ocean, so they're all considered to be the wives of the ocean. So Balaram's pastimes here are with that form of Jamuna as the wife of the ocean. So all these wonderful pastimes happened in this place. Very beautiful, peaceful place. And Lord Nityananda, he also came to this place when he was traveling around. After he left that sadhu who was traveling with him, he traveled here to Braj. And he came here. And when he saw this place, remembering his pastimes with the gopis, he became mad. He was just wandering here and there. Sometimes he would steal butter from somebody's house, remembering his pastimes as a cowherd boy. Here he also met one Brahmin who couldn't live without thinking of Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda was very merciful to that Brahmin and revealed his form as Haladar, Lord Balaram himself. Balaram slept under the trees here and spent a restless night remembering all of the wonderful pastimes that he had with his gopi friends here in the month of Chaitra and Vaisakh. Nobody understood the words that Balaram spoke. And he began to say, I will find him. I will find him. He's not here. But I will go there and find him. I will bring him in front of the eyes of this world. Nobody could understand what he was talking. But Balaram was considering his mind that in Kali Yuga, Krishna is not in Braj. He's in Mayapur, Navadvip. So I will go there. Because Mahaprabhu had not fully manifested his pastimes, but Lord Nityananda wanted to fully bring Mahaprabhu out of hiding. So nobody could understand the meaning. He was rolling on the ground. I will bring him here. I will bring him. I will find him. I will bring him. So these are all the wonderful pastimes in this very beautiful place called Ramghat. And since it's such a beautiful forest here, I don't know if you have your breakfast packets with you. Or do you leave them all in the bus? Oh, breakfast is here.
Yeah.
And this is a very beautiful forest, and just like Krishna and Balaram, we're going to have a little Van Bhojan forest picnic. But I think I've been speaking too much. I should let Maharaj speak a few words also to you. Because you all came here just to hear him. And I'm just a nuisance keeping him from speaking.
I'll speak something just to follow the instruction of Dindabandhu Prabhu. Tomorrow, when we go to Govardhan to perform Govardhan Prakrama, we will go to two other places where rasa dance was performed. One place where Krishna performed rasa dance with the gopis, and another place where Shankachuda was killed, where both Krishna and Balaram simultaneously were dancing with gopis at night near Gwalpur, and the jeweled throne just after we go to Kusum Sarovar. Agasura returns. This pastime of Balaram coming to this remote place, very peaceful place, at least peaceful then, was out of service to Krishna, because all the manifestation of the mood of service emanates from Lord Balaram. So he is the topmost of all those who want to serve Krishna. Just like we heard Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj very wonderfully describe, Krishna's enjoying rasa dance with the gopis and gave such nice spiritual understanding according to our sampradaya's teaching that the gopis are manifestations of Krishna's own energy. That is to say, Krishna is enjoying with his own energy. Unlike in this world, some male may want to have some enjoyment with female, and it's not his own energy, it's the energy of Krishna. that he wants to be the enjoyer of. Quite distinct is the position of Krishna's enjoying with his Svarup Shakti, his own potency. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu told a very nice story of one of his early opportunities to associate with Srila Prabhupada in Philadelphia, because Rabindra Sarup Prabhu was doing his PhD at the University of some university in Philadelphia. And his PhD was in philosophy, so Rabindra invited one of his philosophy professors to meet Srila Prabhupada, thinking that would be very nice, giving Prabhupada an opportunity to preach to his professor. Unfortunately, the professor was very proud of his learning, and he began to speak with Srila Prabhupada in a challenging way. How can you worship one who is so immoral that he dances in the dead of night with others' wives?
He became upset. Even the birds became upset by hearing his words.
And Prabhupada also became quite disturbed, as the birds are. And in a thundering voice, Prabhupada said, "It is you who are immoral. You are enjoying the energy of Krishna without proper respect for the fact that this is the property of Krishna. You are the sinful one. You are the immoral one." Go, Prabhupada, go. And Prabhupada went on for some time with raised voice, letting the professor know in no uncertain terms that Krishna has his own internal potency. When Krishna engages in activities with his own internal potency, he is enjoying himself. And when you engage in amorous activities with the energy of Krishna, you are acting immorally. You are the one who is sinful. For this activity, you will have to suffer very greatly. And you have the audacity to ascribe the same behavior of Krishna to a professor whose field was to study such things. So we should understand, as we're hearing the description of Krishna's leelas, of his rasa leela, and Balaram with his rasa leela, this is not something mundane, and mundane people have no capacity to properly understand. That's our cheerleading section. Pretty intense. They haven't calmed down since. So Balaram, being the direct expansion of Krishna, he simply wants to please Krishna. He came here to Vrindavan, knowing that the residents of Vrindavan were feeling intense separation from Krishna, so he came to pacify them. He came to give his association with many assurances. This is found in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Balaram is sharing with Krishna what his experience was when he came to Vrindavan and was promising, I'm his elder brother, I promise you, I'll bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. I assure you, please feel pacified. Please feel calm and assured. Surely I will bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. And then he was faulting Krishna. And I came and I told you. And you said, surely I will come, but you never went. You're trying to kill the residents of Vrindavan. How merciless are you? Everyone knows you as merciful. How merciless you are. Please go. And that is another explanation. Krishna then discloses why he didn't return. Would you like to hear why Krishna explains why he didn't return? He says the only thing that is maintaining the lives of the residents of Vrindavan is my promise. I will come back. When we go to Govardhan, we're going to see Lotabhama, where he's been waiting for 5,000 years on the promise that Krishna will come back. And Krishna explains, supposing I come back, then they will feel that my promise has now been fulfilled, and even when I am with them, there'll be an anxiety, soon he's going to leave again. And I can't just stay with the residents of Vrindavan, because all of them, my devotees here in Dwarka, they would also die without me. So because I've given them this promise, that promise is sustaining their lives. If I go back, that promise will be fulfilled. There'll be nothing to sustain their lives. Even in my presence, they will die out of anticipation of separation. Just like we visited Prem Sarovar. Even in Krishna's presence, the very thought of separation from Radha, although Radha was, or Krishna was right next to her, she went mad in the ecstasy of separation, tears profusely coming from her eyes out of prema vaichitra, the sense of absence from Krishna, although Krishna was present. Then how could I leave? But how could I not leave? And I'm feeling the same separation they're feeling. Please understand how much pain I feel in the separation from the residents of Braja. You all know, those of you who are with me here in Dwarka, you know how much separation I'm feeling. Because the Leela was there just before. Krishna couldn't even rise in the morning to come sit in the assembly house of the Yadus to preside over the affairs of the state, because he was beside himself with anxiety in separation for the residents of Braja, as they are beside themselves with an anxiety in separation from Krishna. So the performance of rasa dance is this sambhog, coming together and enjoying wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pastimes. Balaram came here to Ramghat and the whole of Braja to give the residents of Vrindavan his association, just to pacify them with the hopes that they would sustain their lives, reassuring them, Krishna will fulfill his promise. He will come back. He said he will come back. Surely he will come back. Krishna fulfills his promise. I'll force him to come. Please maintain your lives until I bring Krishna. So this is part of the wonderful mood of Krishna's enjoying rasa dance here at Ramghat. Sri Dao Ji Maharaj Ki.
Hello, Sri Dao.